So am I still waiting? Waiting a long time. Waiting for tonight. Oh.
So, take a look.
Tonight, 8 masked wrestlers will enter the ring in this deserted arena and expose some of the greatest secrets of all. The secrets of pro wrestling.
I'm going to show you how fake it is.
These brave men are risking their careers, as well as their personal safety, to reveal what wrestling federations don't want you to know.
There will be some people that are angry at me for what I'm doing here.
How they make it look so real, even though it isn't.
What do you mean by fake? Do you want me to tell you that we know who's going to win and lose? If you're overly concerned about whether you win or lose, you're in the wrong business. It's not real. Totally predetermined. I'll tell you the truth. It's fake.
But don't be mistaken. If you think wrestling is all just one big hoax, you may be shocked when you discover the secrets.
This is take 2 of Review Away. It's John Pollock and Wei Ting. And Wei, right now, a lot of our listeners are listening to this either very late on Sunday night or early Monday morning. But for us, it is Friday night at 7 o'clock, and this is our second attempt at Review Away. And let's review the previous Review Away from earlier today that we attempted.
Yeah, I don't know. What can you say? Shit happens. We recorded the full show. And then there are problems, of course, as there usually are, and it did not record, and now I'm in a shit mood.
Is that why? You've been very down this evening.
It sucks. It sucks whenever you have to redo something.
Yeah, I do agree. But Wei, I figure this is only take 2, whereas for Unforgiven, it took us 3 attempts.
Well, who knows? Maybe this won't work.
Think like that, that's glass half empty. Let's think glass half full.
Okay.
Did you have a good week, Wei?
My week is okay. I'm sick as well.
Yeah, I know. Apparently I gave you my illness from last week. I apologize.
From last week, from being in the same audio booth with you, doing this show, actually.
Well, and here we are again. So maybe, yeah. Maybe you'll give it back to me this week.
Maybe I'll get twice as sick.
Yes. Well, there's some stuff we have to clear up on our Facebook group, Wei, because last week I mentioned that, yes, it was Kurt Angle who popularized the tap out in professional wrestling. And boy, was I wrong. Boy, did I go out on a limb just stating that fact very matter-of-factly. And thankfully to our fans out there, which I enjoy, is that they are always there correct. And I do owe, I guess, an apology because I was wrong. First, it came to the attention, one of those moments where I'm thinking, of course, where they mentioned Ken Shamrock, who was doing it a full year before Kurt Angle, very correct. And then Blaine Vandergriend, the author of our TNA Impact report on liveaudiowrestling.com, mentioned Taz, who, yes, did it years before Ken Shamrock. So I was completely wrong with Kurt Angle popularizing the tap out. I will argue that Kurt Angle was probably the first, I would say the most prominent performer that if one were to think of where tapping really became a staple of the industry. But yes, Taz and Ken Shamrock did it prior.
Yeah, they're both prominent. I mean, I'd say Ken Shamrock
was mid-carder at best, let's be honest.
But everybody knows
A little sprinkle in the main event.
Everybody remembers Ken Shamrock from the Attitude Era.
But I don't know if they necessarily remember the tapping.
I'd be
curious to see if there were people tapping right at the get-go of that in 97 when he came in. But who knows? I don't want to make any more facts in regards to tapping out.
Yeah. Well, thank you for correcting, John, and please always feel free to show us that we're wrong. Let us know that we don't know as much as you might. Whenever you want. Just go ahead.
Wei, you're down.
What do you mean?
You need... You're more down than usual.
What are you talking
about? We've got to level each other out here. Come on.
I'm sick.
You're sick.
I'm sick. I have a illness. I have a cold right now.
What if it's worse than the cold? Have you thought about that?
What are you suggesting? What do you have?
I don't know what I have. This past week, I went through every illness imaginable. I started with a cough and a cold. Then it escalated. I had the flu. Then I had, I thought I had bronchitis after all of this. I went to the doctor. I had to wait 2 hours to see a doctor. And they did not diagnose me with bronchitis, but he found I had pink eye.
Mm-hmm.
Pink eye caused me to have to stay home for a day, in which I watched this lovely documentary called Exposed, Pro Wrestling's Greatest Secrets. And now I'm on the recovery. I'm on drops, and I'm also taking cough medicine that they gave me.
You definitely seem a lot better now than before.
Yep. And, you know, I had to wait 2 hours to see a doctor, and I was feeling like Brock Lesnar by the end of that visit. Very down on Canadian healthcare.
Is that true? You mean it?
No, not really.
No.
I got to see a doctor. I got my medicine.
Nothing wrong with Canadian healthcare.
No. Not really.
There are a lot of benefits.
Unless you're in Gimli, Manitoba.
I guess so. Anyway.
I do want to thank all the people that have joined our official Facebook group of Ask Away.
Mm-hmm.
Review Away.
Review Away, now.
Yes. Last week, Way, we mentioned that we would like to hit a target of 400 members by WrestleMania. And lo and behold, this past week, there must have been about 60 people that joined, because we are now at 411 people.
34 more members, it says.
Wow.
Profile updated on... Yeah, 34 more members since Sunday.
Wow. That's impressive.
It is.
So I think we have to now set a new goal of 500 people by WrestleMania.
500?
Do you think we can do 500? That's only adding another 89 people.
I think we can do it by the end of the day.
See, I was a little sneaky, because I went onto the Law Facebook group, which has about 1,300 members, and I messaged all of them, and I stated that we were doing our Royal Rumble pool, and the only way to win is if you're a member of the Review Away Facebook group. So yeah. That kind of gave us an artificial lift. Now, hopefully those people all stick around, even if they don't win something at the Royal Rumble pool. Which, I must say, the contestants for this Royal Rumble pool have greatly exceeded what I expected. Way, I made a Microsoft Word sheet to keep everyone's picks in, and it is now about 76 pages long of picks. And thanks to Chris Engler, who designed a Excel spreadsheet for me to put in people's names and the order of elimination, all that, so it'll calculate it for me. So Chris Engler, who was instrumental in launching the Law on iTunes, has been very, very helpful with this latest contest.
Man, Chris, you're the man. You, Justin Arthur, Scott McCullough.
Those guys that go above and beyond that we always appreciate very much. Not that we don't appreciate the other 408 members.
All you guys.
But a number of you guys just go above and beyond to make this group so fantastic. So we're going to now get into this review, and we're going to take a look, Way, at your pick from last week, Exposed, Pro Wrestling's Greatest Secrets. And why did you pick this?
Well, John, I picked this documentary... I think just because it was the shortest one I could think of. I
mean, you're a big fan of Less is More.
Yeah, if it was up to me, I think I would review just maybe 3 minutes of bad wrestling a
week.
But
that's not what our 411 members want, Way. They want quality and quantity.
412 by now.
412? Someone just joined now?
Yes. The latest member to join. Let me see.
What's their name?
Eric Creechman.
Eric Creechman.
Oh, my God. Eric, thank you.
Eric Creechman.
Finally.
Why weren't you... The legitimate nephew of Floyd Creechman and Eddie Creechman.
Is that
Eddie the Brain Creechman. Yeah, dude.
Eric Creechman, also
Former O'Grady's regular.
And a camera operator at with the Woodbine Racetrack.
Yes, and an alumni of the Ryerson Radio and Television Arts Program.
Wow.
You see how well we know every member of our group?
We stalk every member of the group.
We learn about every person that joins our group. So join us, and you know, maybe we'll do a profile on yourself.
We'll review you.
We'll review you.
Yeah.
Let's get into this, Way.
I give Eric Creechman maybe 6 out of 10.
6? I'll give him a 5.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He wasn't a real... I won't say O'Grady's regular, because his attendance was very spotty during the last year.
I think he could try to be a better person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He also once answered a trivia question at O'Grady's. Just horrible. It was asking who is so-and-so? And he responded, 1989.
Terrible.
The question began with who, and it ended with a year. I don't understand. Let's get into this. Pro wrestling's greatest secrets, everyone. It started off with a tease of a... Fuck! Now, you may not have realized there that, right during that part where we went to the review, we took a brief pause where Wei went to go...
Fuck! Wei fucking went, fuck!
Wei went to go check the recording. And he came back and was like, yeah, everything's great. And we did the entire review. We did another half hour of the show. This was on Friday afternoon. It's now Sunday morning at 9 a.m. And we are here in the studio doing this review for a... How many times have we done it now? Four?
This is the third time.
Third time.
The third time we're...
This is the third time we are going to review Exposed, Pro Wrestling's Greatest Secrets. It's now Sunday. You start... When you first heard the beginning of this, it was Friday. It is now Sunday. I don't even know how to review this another time because I've gone through it so many times. But we're going to try and make it sound fresh, Wei, because...
Oh, my... Okay. Well, it's been 48 hours since the last bit. My cold is almost... It's worsened by now. A lot has happened since we stopped. It's just been a very, very disappointing recording session of this podcast.
And Wei, as I was told when I was a... employee at Canada's Wonderland when I was in 10th grade, so you're going to get a lot of questions asked you every day, some of them over and over again, and yes, it might be the 100th time that someone has asked you this question, but it's the first time that that specific person has asked it, and you have to answer it like it's the first time you've responded to that question. And that's what we've got to do today, Wei. We've got to review this.
I don't know what that means whatsoever.
It means we've got to review this for the people out there who... They have not heard our previous two reviews. They have only heard this one.
We went through this fucking show two entire times already. I picked this show because I thought it would be short.
Basically, Wei, were you wrong. This is now the equivalent, Wei, of... We have spent close to 2.5 hours reviewing the same thing over and over again. You know what? The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. And we are very close to that.
I've had to wake up at 7 a.m. on a Sunday morning so I can come in here and record a review of Exposed for the third time.
Let's get into the review, Wei. It starts off with... It's almost comical now because we have said this so many times. It starts off with the tease, these brave men are risking their careers and their safety, Wei. They have put their safety on the line for this next hour for NBC programming.
Yes, well, if you... what am I supposed to say? Everything's going to sound so fake. I've said it too... I'll attempt... Well, John, of course, they're affecting their safety. This is the secrets of professional wrestling. They're ruining the business by giving away these secrets.
They go back and forth with the wrestlers that have been hired for this expose with such lines as, what do you mean, fake? They reveal it's fake right away from the man in the blue hair, who we'd learn is Brash Knuckles, and then some of the other wrestlers, Wei, that they employed for this. There was Brute Force, the All-American Boy, who resembled the Sandman, Colossus, Ben Hurt, Private Payne, who came with a giant bazooka to the ring, Skullduggery, Slither, and as we mentioned, Brash Knuckles. And you, Wei, were able to uncover some identities behind these men.
Yes, I looked up some of the names and some of the actual wrestlers that were behind these characters. And I found out that the All-American Boy was actually Michael Modest, formerly of Pro Wrestling Noah, of a couple of Beyond the Mat, of a couple of A&E documentaries. And I found this was so mind-blowing to me that I decided to go on Wikipedia and even change one of Mike Modest's aliases to the All-American Boy. So yes. If you were to log on to Wikipedia right now, hopefully it's still there because it's been like 72 fucking hours since I've done it. Hopefully it's still there. But if you go on to Wikipedia right now, type in Michael Modest, and you'll see under aliases it says All-American Boy. And I did that, John. Me.
Waiting.
I did that.
Setting
the
record straight on Michael Modest as the All-American Boy.
besides that, the Pitbulls from ECW, Gary Wolf and Anthony Durante, they both played roles in this. One was Colossus and the other was...
Brute Force.
Brute Force, the guy with the cage around his head.
Yes. So there we go, the Pitbulls and Michael Modest, some of the talent hired here. First way, they go over the five basic moves of professional wrestling. The body slam, the punch, the stomp, the kick, and the headbutt, which one guy states...
Headbutts are awesome if you know how to do them.
And then they demonstrate the headbutt way that when you go to headbutt a guy, you get your thumb up and you actually headbutt your own thumb instead of the guy's forehead. And then from there, that prevents a concussion.
Yeah. Yes.
Anything more to add on the five basic moves?
I'm just so worried this whole time that we're not recording any of this right now. That's for some reason, somehow, that recording thing in there is going to fuck up, and we're just talking all this bullshit again for no reason
well,
whatsoever.
Well, I'm going to say right now, and I don't know why I'm saying this because no one will hear it, but if we do not get it here, I'm not doing this a fourth time. It will be the first ever best of, the worst of review away.
The worst of.
Because this is too much.
Maybe we'll just fill it with, like, a tone.
Yeah. Then they go over to the section called the sell way, where they expose, you know, the fact of selling is like when you're an actor and you got to convey emotions, and they're doing it through physical means in the ring of being happy, being hurt, being punished.
They are like actors.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
They explain the thumb to the eye, which is actually you... are just using your thumb and not coming anywhere near the eye on your opponent, only to make it appear that you are.
I went out to, I had a nice lunch with a couple of my non-wrestling fan friends yesterday, and I told them I was going to see an independent wrestling show later on in the evening, and they told me, so is wrestling actually, you know, it's the fake stuff, right? Like, there are still people out there that don't know that wrestling is fake.
I'm amazed.
So now, and then I went on to tell them that I was in the process of reviewing this this exposed documentary, and they would ask me, oh, how do you do certain moves and all that? And I told them, well, with the headbutt, you see, you put your hand, exactly what this documentary told us, you put your hand there, and they were amazed. These are real secrets. And I forgot my whole point. I forgot the point of this discussion.
I could totally picture you fucking with people. And no, it's very real.
No. I can't even pull that off. For some reason, somehow
you,
we did.
I'm sure you can make some compelling arguments.
I don't know. I don't know about that.
What else? They showed a loose arm bar being applied and how when a guy is selling, it looks that much more devastating. Then they had these things called fabulous fakes. Fabulous fakes, and this one was the suplex, and how you're to land flat on your back and with the assistance of your opponent, and you two are working together.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, I don't really think I had a huge problem with any of the information whatsoever. This is really just a good, maybe not good, but okay.
Maybe like, the presentation left a little to be desired.
I think the presentation, yes. The presentation was just presented in a way... very tabloid-esque, I'd
yes.
say.
Then we go over to the Booker, or as they call it, the Puppet Master, and it is a very weakly disguised Harley Race who plays the Booker. And he explains that the role of the Booker is to put two people together that draw money.
They put the Booker inside a dark secret room. It looked like a boiler room.
Just turn the lights off.
It was shot in black and white, and they showed a scene where the Booker is in there, you know, talking to one of the wrestlers.
He's talking in a low voice in case someone hears him.
Like he's like a mafia boss.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is compared to.
Yeah.
They explain what a babyface and a heel is, and then they announced that the Booker, in addition to putting together all the matches and who wins and loses, his job doesn't end when the matches begin, Wei, because he is in the lobby area handing out signs to the patrons. Because, as they state, you didn't think all those signs came from home, did you?
I actually did. I thought those signs were actually came from home. Have you ever brought a sign to one of these
events? I have brought a sign to a wrestling show when I was young.
What did your sign say?
My sign, I was 14, and I put my my website address, and I actually got onto Raw.
Your website address? Was it like liveaudiowrestling.com?
No. This was years ago. This was it's like a GeoCities site or something like that.
You had a GeoCities site about professional wrestling news?
I wrote, like, results and stuff. That's all I was really capable of.
Did you get a lot of hits on this website?
It didn't really track hits. It was more, I had a guest book, so if I got people to sign my guest book, I would... That was a good barometer of how many people were coming.
Well, how many guest book signings did you
get? I can't remember. I got a handful, mainly because the trick way was that you go to other people's site and write in their guest books and plug your own site, so they would feel compelled to come back and say something in yours. It's kind of like
what we do now with this podcast. We get people to join the group by getting them to. Getting free shit to them.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. It's similar sort of to that. Happening. So then they note that the match isn't always scripted move for move, Wei, and they say, "How could those lugs remember all those moves?"
No, they're
just
idiots.
Like these wrestlers. How could these wrestlers possibly remember a sequence of moves?
Well, some wrestlers can.
Some can. Then they expose Wei some hidden body mics that they've put on some of the wrestlers to call spots in the ring, and they call these conversations covert.
I got him now, baby. Two elbows. I got him, baby. You're mine. You're mine. Tackle. You're mine. You're going out. Check him, ref. You better check him. Tuck the elbow. Check him, ref. Check him. He's mine. He's mine.
Covert conversations going on in the ring, which was more mafia-like.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, man.
I hate doing this.
Okay. Well,
The ring, Wei. The ring.
Yeah.
They expose the turnbuckles, Wei, are actually pillows, and they compare them to orthopedic pillows.
Yeah, it's like the turnbuckles will fix your posture.
I laughed the first time. Second time I grinned, and the third time, very rehearsed.
Yeah.
Then they introduce us to the referee, who they announce is also in on the scam, and then when he checks for foreign objects from each opponent, he's actually giving last second messages to both men. If you don't believe us, here's a little sample. They refer to the referees as con men, Wei. They're con men. They're not actors. They're not part of the script. They're not. Cast members.
You could say Tom Hanks is a con man.
Yeah,
you
they're all con men. Putting together these fake stories that you buy.
They're conning us.
And watch. Then they go on to Heat, Wei. And what is Heat?
Heat is a bunch of fans throwing popcorn and drinks on you, as evidenced by
Brash Knuckles.
Brash Knuckles walking out with a microphone. And these extras they had for this documentary, this poor guy, Brash Knuckles, he walks out filming this show. And then these extras just totally take advantage of the role they're given, and they
go into business for themselves.
They pour drinks right on the guy's face. It was humiliating.
The next section is called Shills and Plants. And the first bit they expose is the autograph book bit, where one guy explains that it's the oldest trick in the game, where a heel comes out, he takes a little fan's autograph book and snaps it in half, but little are we the wiser that the fan is actually one of the wrestler's sons who, for his efforts, they announce, gets pizza and a ride home from his father.
Yeah.
So his father feeds him and provides him with a roof over his head. Very responsible parent. That's great. If he goes through with the scam.
Yeah, if he goes, yes.
This con man, this little con child.
Yeah, well.
Then Wei, they explain the old woman you always see at ringside, and what's her role?
There's another character planted in the audience that you'd never expect to be on the payroll. And when she plays her big scene, she creates more heat than you could ever imagine. Can you pick out the plant? It couldn't be this sweet old lady.
Well, we've come to find that this is actually a stunt grandmother who is also a part of the show. She sits there. They show a sequence where she's, yelling at the heel. Then the heel comes over, shoves her down.
Yes.
And by the way, I'm still sick. I'm still sick as fuck. So this has not been a fun weekend. The grandmother backstage then gives the wrestler a hug and reveals that she's wearing pads, shoulder pads.
How's that for pile driving, Miss Daisy?
Yes,
that's what they state.
Oh,
then anyway, they show three attacks: one with a metal chair, one with a salt in the eyes, and one with a trophy being broken over a wrestler's head, and they say which one is legitimate, and wait, it's the chair, which is real. And they show that the powder they reveal is either weightlifter's powder or talcum powder, and the trophy is already broken beforehand and just breaks easily over top of wrestler's head.
Amazing. That's amazing. I didn't know that.
Then they show Slither taking a back body drop. And the way he takes a back body drop, they say, determines if he goes home in a stretch limo or stretched out in an ambulance. He takes it safely, and he goes home in a stretch limo, I assume. Slither.
What are they going to get a stretch limo, these guys?
I don't know.
They can't afford that.
Maybe if it was one of the props, which is our next section, way. And they have Colossus and Brute Force outside the ring, and they do the chair spot, showing that it's legitimate. And then they move over to the table, where the narrator announces that it's to set up another scam. As they go through a table. Another scam, way.
Oh.
Then they go to break, and they state, when we return, the wrestlers reveal their darkest secrets.
What do you mean? What are their darkest secrets?
I expected this to be a tell-all about cocaine, steroids, human growth hormone, and hookers. But it was not, way. It was about the granddaddy of all scams.
Which was?
Juicing.
Blood.
Not steroids. No, with a razor blade.
The biggest scam of all scams is that
yes.
Blood is real in
and
wrestling.
And Brash Knuckles demonstrates for the camera on two occasions.
Yes, he cuts himself once inside the ring, and then the poor guy has to cut himself for a close-up. When he's seated, and it's just wow.
The host warns that you may want to look away as the blood flows out.
I found this to be this reminded me very much of the Academy Award nominated movie The Wrestler,
yes.
Mickey Rourke, and I just came to the conclusion that exposed pro wrestling's greatest secrets would be a perfect companion piece to that beautiful movie.
Yes, directors Darren Aronofsky and Don Winer should really get together. The Wrestler Exposed. Sounds like a porno. Then we go to the finish, and they explain the Hurricanrana. The Hurricanrana.
Hurricanrana. Well, what's wrong with that?
Well, it's called the Hurricanrana.
Hurricanrana.
Kun.
Kun.
Not ka.
Maybe they're they have speech impediment. Oh, by the way, we didn't even mention the narrator this whole time.
Nick Baquet.
Nick Baquet, if you would do a quick Google search on Nick Baquet, you would learn that he is not only the co-writer of Mall Cop with Kevin James, he is perhaps best known as the voice of Salem, the cat.
Hilda, what do you think of this letter? Dear Yuri, congratulations. I'm amazed that a person of such low intelligence could defeat me in chess. Hats off to your mother for marrying her brother. I'll stop. After that, it gets a little mean.
That's nice, Taylor.
From Sabrina the Teenage Witch, so...
If you had told me that before we watched this, I would have pictured a cat narrating this entire movie.
But I did tell you before this. I told you two times before this.
I know, but I have only watched this the once. It's a very different way. They state the Hurricanrana is only risky if you don't know the secret. Then they show us... Well, you're expecting some big revelations here in terms of big finishes.
The way they built this section up, this was the finish of the climax of the whole documentary. They said that we would give away the secrets of pro wrestling's most dangerous finishing moves. So I was expecting they were going to show us, you know, how they work a vertebraker or a burning hammer or Tiger Driver 91, something like that. But instead, we get the Bulldog Headlock.
And a leg drop, which they call an elaborate maneuver. Elaborate. Yes. Of all the finishes, that Hulk Hogan has been exposing for the last 25 years, this is the one that they decide to show, that they bend the knee when they go down on a guy's throat.
Mm-hmm.
They show us the pile driver, which can be a legitimately dangerous move.
Yes.
And then there's this promo by the guys at the end of the show.
After watching this show, if you still got the guts to ask any pro wrestler, is it fake? Step into the ring and we'll show you how fake it is.
And that way is exposed pro wrestling's greatest secrets. Executive producer Bruce Nash, director Don Wiener, writers Dave Boone, Michael Miller, and Bruce Nash, and narrator Nick Baquet. And what do you give this? Because I originally gave it a 5 out of 10. I now give it a 3 out of 10 because I've had to review it 3 times.
Yeah, I give it a 7 out of 10. Divide that by 3. It's, what the fuck is that?
Why do you pick such a difficult number?
3. Well, I should know this. Fuck it, I don't care. Whatever. 7 divided by 3. You do the math.
Well,
tell me.
We did get some feedback since our last review.
Didn't we?
From Jay Hunter. Hey, John, thought I'd post my thoughts on this show. I'm not sure when you record Review Away, but here goes. Yeah, we don't even know when we record it. It's multiple times. I remember seeing Exposed on the TV many years ago. I watched it for a few minutes and turned it off in disgust. Watching it today, I propose that the show isn't for wrestling fans or young kids. It's for people who hate wrestling. I think they made this video with the aim in mind to show people just how juvenile and phony pro wrestling is. It's a confirmation of their belief that wrestling is just backwards, sleazy mongoloids who've deceived the redneck crowd and worked them up into a frenzy of ignorance. Obviously, they never mentioned the important idea, suspension of disbelief, and then there would be no reason to have the episode. It starts off by showing you some ugly, out-of-shape, carnival-level wrestlers, Ben Hurt, Private Payne, etc., in a seedy bingo hall, subconsciously telling you how cheap and base wrestling is. Add on a condescending, sarcastic narrator and some painfully obvious secrets that you have a pretty potent kryptonite to every wrestling fan. It's a good thing this show got so many cast members in as fans, as real wrestling fans would have reacted vociferously to this garbage and possibly riot. The most offensive part of the show is the granny bump. When was the last time we've seen one of these? Maybe in a 1980s house show, which is when I think the makers of this show last saw a wrestling match. This part is so aggravating you just want to punch whoever made this show in the mouth, in brackets, Bruce Nash. The runner-up for the most abrasive point in the show is narrator Nick Baquet. Editorial remarks like, "You didn't really think they brought all those signs from home, chuckles, did you? And ooh, better call a chiropractor." Tell the audience in regards to wrestling and holding it in disdain. I can't imagine that most people don't figure out subconsciously or not that basic moves like a body slam and especially the superplex and the hurricanrana are the work of the wrestlers helping each other out. Things like punching, stopping, etc. aren't legit, maybe because you never see wrestlers with black eyes. So I'm not all naysaying. Here's some positives from the show, way. Mentioning that a move looks believable is all about the sell. Without a proper sell, a move looks like crap. I reckon it's something not many wrestling fans think about. Talking about the booker and communication in the ring was a good call as well, even if it's done really obviously. Having a look in and under the ring and seeing a microphone was a good idea too. I remember just before the Taker HBK Hell in a Cell from Bad Blood 97, the camera did have a look under the ring for HBK's accomplices, showing an amplifier. Showing wrestlers blading is a great idea too, a real carny aspect of wrestling. I imagine that blood packs have gotten pretty rare over the last few years. In fact, I cannot recall any blood packs being used.
Me neither.
Maybe the rarest of rare occasions. The pile driver looked pretty sick. At the end of the show, they do get across that wrestlers sustain a lot of injuries. The 2 minutes of good work is undone by one of the wrestlers saying, "Is it fake? Step into the ring and I'll show you how fake it is," and snarls. Yay, cheers, carny. Here's a couple of random negatives to round out the show. Who bloody signs autographs on the way to the ring? Since when is every sign fake and given out to fans? If a wrestler gets a chair shot to the back, he should or usually does sell a back shot, not a head shot. Head chair shots are usually blocked, same as a boot to the face, unless you're wrestling the Dudley Boys, of course. The main overarching negative is that wrestling is portrayed here as a phony performance masquerading as a legitimate sport, which it isn't. Fuck you, Bruce Nash, Dave Boone, and Michael Miller, the writers of this show. Overall, I'd recommend never watching this show unless you enjoy being aggravated by the stereotypical view of how non-wrestling fans view wrestling. I honestly think this is a startling, accurate portrayal of how the general media / Hollywood view wrestling, and the show does nothing but emphasize and confirm this mindset. So thank you to Jay Hunter there for his rundown of Exposed, Pro Wrestling's Greatest Secrets.
Yeah, that was a tremendously written response.
All right, I want to end the show with, so I want to thank everyone. We've had tons of people join the official Facebook group of Review Away.
Yeah, why don't I just go through some of the people's comments on the show.
Oh, yeah, we have comments, for sure.
Graham McPhail says, this is the thing I'm thinking of, I saw about 10 years ago, and brilliantly, there was a part of it where they claim that the promoters handed all the fans their signs as they entered the buildings. I expect TNA will actually start doing this soon. Martin Minkey says, I'm trying to imagine Todd Grisham or Byron Saxton giving signs with fingers and pencils to the referee how long the match should go on. Can't do it. Sam Kennerly says, so glad this is getting the review. This is the program that features an obvious Harley race and also a stunt granny. Ha ha. I read somewhere that Mike Modest plays the All-American Boy, which sounds like any WCW circa 1990 gimmick. Patrick McHugh, this reeked of awesomeness to me. One of those things that was so bad it was good, or at least funny. I just imagined a talking cat narrating it. Finally, Jeremy Levine says, I hope you guys can talk about some of the shit that wrestlers saying about this vid when it was released. I remember fully just ripping on it. This whole vid was garbage. The only thing I learned was how to lift someone properly for a fucking body slam. All right, well, glad you guys took the effort to watch it. Sorry you missed out on the previous two reviews of this. You can only imagine how electrifying they sounded.
Yes. So that brings us to a close, Way. Was there anything else you wanted to... I know you were at an independent show yesterday. Were there any secrets exposed?
Well, I was at J.P. Parsonage, who works with the Fight Network now. He occasionally puts on independent wrestling shows for his promotion, CWR, Canadian Wrestling Revolution. And I did not notice him handing out signs at the front.
No.
Nor did I notice any stunt grandmothers. I did not even bother to look underneath the ring.
There you go. Well, I want to thank everyone. Last week we were saying how we wanted to get to 400 members on our Review Away Facebook group, and we hit 400 this week. We're at do you know what the number is?
At the moment is 420.
420. That's a gigantic increase. We had like 50 people join this week, and...
Mm-hmm.
I want to thank everyone that has joined our group. We are now going to set our sights, I would say, 520 for WrestleMania. 520.
Why?
100 people more? From now until WrestleMania, okay?
All right.
I think that's a realistic goal.
Well, I think that's setting us very low, actually.
You think we can do more?
I think if you have another contest, we can easily get... I don't know.
600 Way? Go and say
600?
It.
Yes. Let's aim for 600 by
600 Mania. By March the 28th, okay?
600.
So if you're out there and you enjoy our show, please message your friends if they're wrestling fans and like to hear us tear apart shows, because we want as many people as possible. And we will next week have our winners from our Royal Rumble pool, which is just insane. I have had over 100 people send in picks, and I am very grateful to Chris Engler, who was instrumental in getting Live Audio Wrestling onto iTunes. He sent me an Excel sheet this week with the formulas built into them so that it'll be easier for me to tabulate points for everybody, because Monday morning, that is going to be a long process of figuring out.
Yeah, thank you, Chris.
The points.
Thanks to Chris, to everybody who contributes to the podcast, Scott McCullough, Justin Arthur, all you guys here.
All our great fans. So go join our Facebook group, the official Facebook group of Review Away. Next week, we're getting into WrestleMania season, so we're going to review WrestleMania 13 from Chicago, headlined by Psycho Sid versus The Undertaker. And as we head into WrestleMania season, if there's any WrestleManias you want us to review, please go post them on the wall. And not just post it, but maybe a reason why. Maybe some unique reason.
Mm-hmm.
Or just write which WrestleMania. Obviously, we are not going to review 25 WrestleManias from now until then, but a handful maybe we can review. So go review that. And you can always email us, John and Way, at thefightnetwork.com, respectively, and Way.
If any of you want to come in on Sunday mornings or whenever.
No, just we're never doing this on Sunday morning.
To be our audio engineer, because we sorely need somebody to stand by the computer while
this
records.
Make sure the computer doesn't stop recording. Anyway, let's go out with a song, mate, because I'm tired.
Well, John, this will be unprecedented, because I don't know if anyone in the history of musical requests has wanted to request Mariah Carey for three times. I want to hear Mariah Carey Fantasy. I need to hear Mariah Carey, John.
Yo, New York in the house. It's Brooklyn in the house. Uptown in the house. Shaolin, are you in your house? Boogie Down, are you in the house? Sacramento in the house. Atlanta, Georgia, are you in the house? West Coast, are you in the house? Japan, are you in the house? Everybody, are you in the house? Baby, baby, come on. Baby, come on. Baby, come on.
When you walk by every night, talking sweet and looking fine, I get kind of hectic inside. Baby, I'm so into you. Darling, if you only knew all the things that flew through my mind. But it's just
Dirty Bad.